preached this before. Come on, I'm hearing it as you're hearing it, because it really is. Come on. Take no thought in the hour you come up before the council of men. But you're going to speak, come on, because it should be your Father that's speaking to you. And He's going to give you those words. It really is. That's really the truth. Come on, without a Bible, you are instant in season and season. But come on, in season or out season, because you were chosen in Christ. And there's something that God has put inside of you that once He can move the layers of your consciousness, the layers of personality, the layers of ego, all these things that you identify yourself by. When you look in the mirror, I'm white, I'm black. Come on, I'm Hispanic. I'm 45, I'm 92. Come on. I'm Pennsylvania Dutch. I said all these layers and get to the identity of Christ. Because you were in Christ. If you were in Christ, then what is your true identity? I love this word. Thank you, Jesus. And then the day God called Abraham out, my God, how old was the man? And let me tell you something, we're talking today. Come on. Amen. Everybody's talking about being a God chaser today. Come on. And it's a good thing to be seeking after God. But let me tell you, nobody in that Bible was looking for what came upon the scene. Amos was a herdsman, the Bible says. My God, he was out there, come on, tending to the sheep, tending to the cows. All he could see about his life is I'm a herdsman. All anybody around his life could see is he's just another cattle driver. Come on, little did he know that he was chosen in Christ. Oh, and the time would come at a certain age that God would reveal Himself unto His Son. Come on. And His life would never be the same again. Come on. The church today is largely preaching to the choir, singing to the choir, preaching to the same faces. My God, we ought not to be a predictable people. We ought not to be able to walk into the assemblies and look at our clock and know that by the little hand, I got to find some name that doesn't apply to anybody tonight, but he can offend somebody. You know, we have to go in there and not know that in 30 seconds on the clock, come on, Sister Aquanet is going to jump up and shout, my God, start kicking things over. Come on. People love to have that thing. And I've seen people that, you know, they feel the Spirit when they're in their mind. Come on. They witness to that is anointed. Come on. As well as that's not anointed. The same way, because many people are caught up in the structure of the assembly.
Yes.
I said they can't wait to get there. The flesh on parade, you know.
Yep.
Come on. And who are these people? They are as little children. Come on. What did Jesus say, oh little children? But Jesus said, some of the children that come unto me, that's all right. But some of those children, they're going to come to full age.
Yes.
I set a mark upon some of them.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on. What did Jesus say by parable? He said, like children in the marketplace saying, we had played our music, we piped unto you, yet you've not danced with us. My God, this thing is more than just dancing. This thing is about recognizing your purpose in this earth as a trumpet of God's message and a power that God's going to place with the generation today. That in the trumpeting of that message, they will have power to overthrow strongholds even upon our city and cast down, come on, every demonic power that holds the people up, come on, in a performance of things and ability to change even the culture of God's people.
Yes.
It's not about a congregation drawing people, having the biggest church series on the face of the earth. Find a man seek after all that today. And Jesus was taken up and shown all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, sucker, this is bigger than all the kingdoms of the world. Amen. They took him up to the temple. Where was he at when he wasn't showing just what was in the world? He was showing him what could be. Come on. Through that was religion. Come on. Amen. Jesus said there's something that's greater than all this, and there's something that Jericho can get today that by the Spirit of God, that whether they ever lay concrete, come on, and raise up a building somewhere and put a sign on the door that says C-H-U-R-C-H. Come on. They're going to have something, listen, that God has placed with them spiritually. Come on. That they're going to have a word that's going to have the ability to wipe blindness away from this generation's eyes. Come on, open the deafness of the ears of a few folks, because my God, some of those people, come on, are called to God not just to receive the kingdom, their kingdom to an external thing, but they received the kingdom because they were chosen in Christ for the foundation of earth. Come on. Now, the church is the woman, and the who's going to receive the power? See, all we know about is that the church, everybody's going to receive this power. I'm going to tell you, not so. But the Revelation said it was what was born out from the woman. Amen. And God has birthed many things through the generations out from His people, the church, or His people. Come on, He's birthed many man-childs. All we know about is that one that's going to come, but there were many man-childs. Come on, some of them were named Peter. Come on, was he not born out from the commonwealth and the greater mass of what God was doing? And what happened to the woman? She was given no authority to rule. She was given no power. Come on. She was given two wings like an eagle to fly off into the wilderness somewhere until the time that God would call upon that woman again. Come on. We need to understand that God's Word, listen, that God's Word is not a one-time event. Come on. But what happened in the book of Revelation has happened throughout the generation. Every time God got ready to birth something, it, come on. See, all we know about is that one man-child, but if you were in that man-child, oh, come on, the time is going to come that God is going to cause you to be birthed out of something. Come on, and He's going to catch you up into power, and to you, come on, not to what you were birthed out of. Come on, not to who you sat next to in church. Not to who... I'm sure we just preach, you know, my text for tonight. You don't need just a little message. You need something.
Yeah.
Come on, that's going to empower you.
Yeah.
I hope you get so stirred by this message you can't even sleep tonight.
Right.
I hope you're tearing God's Bible apart, searching this out.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I hope a desire gets on you tonight.
Yeah.
Through desire, man will separate himself aside. Intermeddlers tear apart God's Word to get the wisdom of God. And you'll know if you're a son because a son can't rest. Oh, when a word like this comes forth, it's going to stir you. You won't be able to sleep at night, some of you. God's going to haunt you with this Word. If you're a child, it's just going to go past you and you're already thinking about what's on TV when I get home. And that's all right. My God, maybe it's time to be cast back out into the sea of humanity. And maybe we'll catch it 6 months from now or a year from now. Come on. We'll come to a place where we're ready to receive the strong meat of God. Come on, but in the day that Jesus came, did He not talk about the time would come that the Son of Man would send His angels?
Yes.
Come on. And they would reap out. Come on. And all we can see is that, come on, that there's coming a time to where the Son of Man is going to come and He's going to reap out that. Come on, He's going to separate the wheat from the tares. Come on, the wheat from the tares. Come on. My God, He's going to take these tares and bundle them up. Cast them into a fire somewhere. All we can see is there's a one-time event that's coming over yonder somewhere when time rolls up. But my God, when did it happen? In 70 A.D.? Come on. What did the Son of Man do? He came and He sent His angel. I send you forth two by two. I give you power over every disease, over sickness. Lay hands on the sick. Heal the lepers. That was the Son of Man sending His messenger.
Hallelujah.
Come on. And when they went forth, the word that they spoke separated the wheat from the, come on, it separated the wheat from the tares. Come on. It separated those that were of a lesser status. Oh, from those that were greater. It separated from those that were there to be touched by the kingdom. From those that were there to receive a kingdom. Come on. And one of those that was reaped out was a man named Timothy. Oh, and where was he reaped out in the day that Paul came as a messenger? As an angel. The word angel is the word angelos. It's a Greek word, and it directly equates to a messenger, a messenger. Come on, so what came? All we can think about is, you know, the white cloud angel with the great. Come on, you may be an angel. Turn this way. You may be an angel. You may be part of that company of angels that God has sent to this generation and has given you a word to speak into this church age. Come on. And what happened? In 70 A.D., before that time, He sent His angels, and they reached out those, come on, that were not of that was a tare, but they were wheat. And God could bake His bread with them because they were the right substance. He drew them out from that thing. Amen. But in 70 AD, the Roman Empire came in and put that nation underfoot. They set fire to the city, and when you saw the bones of the thing, you were seeing the tares come on, that were not drawn out, that would not receive the word. You saw them cast, come on, into fire, and there was great gnashing and weeping. Gnashing of teeth. Thank you, Jesus. There's a man child that God's concerned about today. There's a people within a people. That's what this message is.
Yes.
In short, this is about, you know, that you know, God's not interested in what everybody that's sitting on the pew has to think or what they feel or anything else. What He's looking for is those that He has ordained.
That's right.
That He has chosen. Come on. And God's always had a remnant. I don't care who talks about a big corporate experience where everybody has power today. That's never been the case.
That's right.
Come on. In the day, my God, that God visited upon His people.
Yes.
And brought that power to them.
Yes.
But they were called to receive the kingdom.
Yes.
Come on, out of all that multitude that were God's people, that God had chosen them, come on, that were born out of Abraham's seed, come on. Oh, and knew themselves as being a chosen people. There was only 120 that received what came on the day of Pentecost. Let me tell you, if that was the case then there might be just a handful of this generation that really get this thing. And those that receive this word are going to be imbued with power. Others are going to talk about it. Others are going to, come on, are going to write books about it and tapes and CDs and have all kinds of conferences and shout and write songs about it. But there's a people today that God is going to choose them. For upper room experience.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen. And not everything, listen, has been called to receive what we're talking about. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's even some sons today that are never going to come to their sonship because they won't receive a word of God. And hearing that word, understanding it, they would rather stay, come on, in the triviality of what their walk is today, because there were 500 that were sent to the upper. There were 500 sent to the upper room. But at the end of 10 days, there was 120.
Right.
Oh, my God. Come on, that means 380 that were sent.
Yes.
Now, Jesus didn't send anybody to the upper room that wasn't. Come on, you're not hearing me today. See, not even everything that's chosen in Christ, they may not walk in the performance of what they were chosen for today. Because
right.
There's a thing to where we have to align our will with the will of God.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And out of 500 that He sent to the upper room, why was only 120 that was there that received something? Come on. And they went out, and what they received separated them. Come on, from the greater multitudes of God's chosen people, because God had a people within a people that were chosen. And it was those that received this sonship. Come on. And received even such an engrafting, come on, of not a written word. Oh, come on, not an external word, but an inward word that became the very identity of what they were. Where we're Paul declares, it is no longer I that liveth, but now it's Christ that liveth. Come on. And further than that, Paul said, and now henceforth, because I recognize this, so I recognize that it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ. Now I have eyes to see, and I no longer look for the flesh of a man, but I'm looking at that man to find Christ.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank
you,
Jesus.
Come on.
Yes.
See, He wasn't going out to everybody.
Right.
He was looking for those that was in them.
Yes.
Oh, there was a mark upon them because they were His fellow brethren in Christ.
Yes.
Come on. Because He knew the power of God's word. And one of those He found was a man named Timothy.
Yes.
Another one He found was a man named Onesimus. Come on. He found men that were not of the house of Israel, because God is no longer dealing in this hour with that of a genetic bloodline today.
Yes.
Amen. There's many today that say everything revolves around this thing over there in Israel, but I'm going to say, who is Israel today?
Yes.
Come on. You better help me today.
Amen.
I point you back to the fact that the Bible says that He cut off there was something there before the cross. God's dealings were with the Semitic people that were born through a fleshly bloodline. But even within that bloodline, there was a spiritual aspect.
Yes.
Come on.
Right.
And that's why in the day that they said, Abraham is our father, Jesus, He said, if Abraham were your father,
yes.
Come on, you would receive me.
Yes.
But they weren't born out of Abraham, and they scratched their heads.
Yes.
Come on, because they knew who the mama was and their daddy. Come on, and they had the records of that. They went back But God's not concerned about flesh, because in the hour that He came upon the scene, in the hour that God manifested Himself through His Christ, it was the end of God working through flesh that made nothing perfect. Now He would cut off the natural branch.
Yes.
Come on, go forth to the Gentile people.
Yes.
Oh, come on, not because of the bloodline of the Gentile people.
Yes.
Come on, because He'd already raised up something out of that natural branch and sent it out to the, come on, to another people, and He took a wild olive branch and He sowed it in there. And the moment He sowed them into that thing, they would possess everything that was born, come on, that was born out of that natural branch. And even a greater thing, come on, being children and made children by faith.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise. Amen. This tonight.
Hallelujah.
Is this all right?
Yes, amen.
It's hard to shout behind this message. We can only shout behind those messages that,
yes,
you know, God's going to do this, God's going to do that. Come on. God's going to reveal something to this generation today.
Yes.
Come on. He's going to mark a generation with His Word today, with something greater than an anointing. Come on.
Yes.
There's an indwelling of God's Word that is going to be found in a generation today.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That when there is no assembly, they'll yet be standing in a position with God.
Yes.
Whether or not they got, you've heard me say before, you that have come to the Holy Fire sessions before, whether or not they got beautiful music in the background,
right,
whether or not they got an atmosphere that's been created, whether or not they got the unity of the brethren, I said there's something that's with them.
Yes.
Because
yes,
God has placed something with them.
Yes.
Come on, and they are seed of Abraham.
Hallelujah.
Come on, and what did God give unto this great patriarch Abram in the day He found him? Did He give him a conformity? Come on, an outward conformity of things. Did He tell him, you got to get a, you know, 50-piece choir? Come on, 50-piece orchestra, 100-piece choir. You got to create this atmosphere today. All right, then why today the preacher say you got to create the right atmosphere? I'm going to tell you there's something that's coming to those that God has marked and separated them out.
Amen.
Brought them out from the need for have. Come on, the children need to have the right music.
Amen.
The children need to feel God in the air because they've not assimilated this Spirit of God.
Yes.
And they can't identify. Come on, they're looking for the kingdom with outward observation, regardless of what the Master said.
Yep. That's right.
And they'll tell you, can't you feel the kingdom of God? Well, that's all right. God moves like that. But you can't be led by your five senses, baby. You're going to be misled today.
Yes.
And there's many today that are, come on, that are worshiping worship today.
Yes.
And they're following after an outward experience of God, knowing nothing about an inward dwelling of God's Spirit. I wonder what it was with God's people in the day He sent them forth two by two, that into whatsoever city they went into, standing against hostile environments and against pagan nations, so everybody in that city rejected their God. Come on. Oh, they had power and a word as well, that in speaking that word, they caused those cities to be shaken. They turned them upside down to where governorship began to get worried. Said, we got to get these men out of our city. They're going to wreck everything. Come on. Come on, but today we get 10,000 people in a great meeting and can't, come on, can't save the city. I'm going to tell you something's wrong today. Come on, God sent one Moses down. Moses, what kind of place would Moses have in this hour today? Him not even be able to speak. Come on, in this hour of smooth speakers and eloquent orators today, where would Moses stand and what position would he have given unto him in the, come on, in this thing called Christianity? I'm going to tell you, he'd be right out the door. They never let him hold a mic. That brother can't even talk. But come on.
Yep, that's right.
But the only way out of Egyptian bondage was with that sucker that couldn't talk.
Yep, that's right.
Come on.
Yep.
To where? Come on.
Yep.
Amen.
Come on, his brother was his mouth.
That's right. Amen.
But let me tell you, come on, God's power's not always with the mouth, baby. So who he is ordained.
Yes.
Come on. And Aaron was a good talker, baby. I'm sure he was a good talker. But let me tell you something. It was Moses that had the ability to raise that staff up.
Yes.
Come on. And demonstrate the power of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Come on, what about it today?
Yes.
How many believe that God can change a city with one individual?
Yeah.
I said one. I'm going to tell you, you got one individual wrote three quarters of the New Testament.
Amen.
And it was a perfect example of what we're talking about. That was chosen in Christ.
Yeah.
But didn't know it. And was out to wreck what he saw in the earth.
Yes.
Hated Christ.
Yes.
Had power to kick in this door tonight. See us and take us down here to the lockup somewhere. Come on, lock the men away in Camp Hill up here. Come on, put the children into bond servitude to the state. And the women as well, because of the word of Christ that was in their mouth in that hour. Come on, I said, this is what God chose.
Yes.
chosen, come on, before the foundation of the earth. He made a subject of vanity, let it do what it did. Because what it was a part of became its testimony. And as a people today, they're going to have a greater testimony than this church crowd. Come on, that their testimony is, you know, come on, some little thing that happened 100 years ago. I said, to whom much, come on. Oh, come on, to whom has been given much, loveth much. And as a generation today, come on, in their perversity, in their addiction, in their alternative lifestyles even, that God is going to put something upon that generation. Come on, that's going to provoke those that have, come on, that were part of that natural thing. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord tonight.
Amen.
I know this is a different message. Some of you have heard it. This is what they call progressive truth. There ought to be a progression with God's people.
That's right.
I don't want to keep seeing people that 7 years ago they're preaching the same thing.
Yep.
Nobody's gotten into it yet.
Yep.
Come on, I said there's a word that God's going to place upon your life today.
That's
that
right.
In giving that word, it's going to open a way. I said it's going to open a way. Come on, He's going to give you a word to continue in that word. And today, everybody, you can't stay long enough in one word to get anything from God.
That's right.
Amen. Had several people talking to me, and you know, people that don't know the Spirit of God, they're sincere and they love you and they do the best they can, but you know, that carnal mind can't understand the things of the Spirit. And
yep.
People that don't have that spirit mind, they tell you, well, what you need to do, you need to change up, you know, you change your message and create a different thing every week and, you know, keep the people interested. They don't understand what I understand. This thing is about the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Amen. And where was it that God gave a word to anybody that was a word that was a progressive word, only in the, a new revelation every week or a new book or a new teaching series? He said, continue in my word.
Yes.
He said, abide in this word. Don't worry about what somebody else is walking in. Don't worry about what somebody wants to hear today or what somebody says is the popular. You find where I have spoken to you and you continue in my word. You abide in my word. And my God, if you abide in my word, after a while my word is going to begin to abide in you. Come on. We don't get it today. There's many abiding in the word, but when is that word going to abide in them? And what do you say? Once you have learned that, come on, abide in my word. And then you assimilate that word and you absorb that word. Then you will ask whatsoever you will, and it will be given. Come on, how many believe it today? I said there's a place God's going to break us through where this thing becomes about power. And it's not just another faith, come on, to where we can't, we have a hard time, come on, justifying it as being any different from what the Muslim is involved in, what the Buddhist is involved in, come on, what the New Ager is involved in, because God always marked His people with a demonstration of His power. And I believe it's coming back into this generation. Who's coming to? It's coming to a man-child. Come on, this people today, that they're sitting next to you and they're sincere and they love God, but they've not been chosen. They're sitting in the assembly, come on, and they have been chosen, come on, to be a greater part of what God is doing today. And they receive common salvation, and their name is written in God's Lamb Book of Life. But there's a people today, come on, there's a people today, that God's going to write a new name in them that nobody knows that name. Only him that receives that name. Come on, that means it's not Baptist.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
We're getting off of something. What is people's name today? Ask them today. They'll tell you what, I'm Presbyterian.
Yep.
Come on. Grandma was Presbyterian.
Yep.
Her mama was Presbyterian. I'm Catholic today. You're none of these things.
That's
this
right.
You're none of these things. No more than your white, black, red polka dot.
Hallelujah.
You were chosen in Christ before the foundations of the earth. Come on, and James said that those that hear the word, how do you abide in the word of God? And where the wind does it take up an abiding with you? Not in hearing the word. I hear the word here, I'm abiding. Amen. But in doing that word, come on, you begin to assimilate that word. I'm walking into that word. I believe that this is the faith of Abraham, for he was given a word in that hour.
Amen.
And God said unto him, walk before me. And be, I'm giving you ability to be perfected.
That's right.
By this word today.
Amen.
And James said, him that heareth the word, come on, hear the word, here I am.
Yep.
I'm abiding in this word, I hear it. Come on, but doing it not, but I'm not going, come on, I'm not going to make stands of faith that this word can be assimilated.
Right.
He said, it's like a man that looks into a, what did he say? It's like a man that looks into a mirror, turns away and forgets what You were chosen in Christ.
Right. Amen.
You are
Hallelujah.
Of Christ. Somewhere, where is the generation to rise up and not be afraid? Come on. To be like Paul and say, Paul's dead. It may look like Paul. May talk like Paul, but it really is no longer Paul. Amen, because it's Christ.
Amen.
Somebody said Christ in us. The hope of glory. The hope of that is in you.
Hallelujah.
Come on. But it's got to be manifested. This is the hope of glory. I'm hoping to God that somewhere this generation is going to manifest this glory of Christ today. And where's the generation that's even going to count it not robbery to be equal with their God? Come on. Amen. If you were in Christ, does not the Bible say, see now we are seated in Christ far above every principality and power?
Amen.
Then that means we're in Christ.
Right.
Come on, we're seated in Christ.
Hallelujah.
But who is seated in Christ today?
Yes.
Come on, it goes back to that same thing. Who is it that God has marked today?
Yes.
Who's seated in Christ?
Yes.
Come on, in Christ, who's seated in the authority of Christ?
Yes.
Come on,
Amen.
All we think about seated in Christ is we're all in Christ. Amen, but there was within Christ, in the day, come on, before there was anything formed, there was a people, a generation that was in Christ. And out from that generation that was there, come on, the multitudes are there, there was something chosen out. Well, tell me it's not the same today. If there's a people that are seated in Christ, and even the Bible talks about seeing now that all things are underfoot, why is not all things fully underneath the feet of the body of Christ?
That's right. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Who's going to receive the power? The man child. He's going to be born out. Born out from that woman. The woman shall receive two wings like an eagle to be driven into a wilderness place. Come on. But the man child will be mounted up into a place of authority. Raise those hands tonight. A place of authority. A place of rule. Of dominion. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's why we got to get out of these outward, external things. This is not an hour. Many people talk about how the body of Christ. Okay, they join together. Not in this hour. All you got to do is go sit in the congregation today. All you got to do is drive down the streets of the cities, the major cities. Not so much out here, but maybe a little bit. You got a church on this corner. We believe this. Our identity is blah, blah, blah. On the other corner, sitting right there looking at them, it's another church, and they got a different identity. This is our banner. Our banner is we are, come on, the Assemblies of God. Well, we don't believe what you believe, so we got to stay over here on our side of the road. The church is like Gettysburg, baby. It's like the Civil War today. You want to find warfare, fighting, and contention? Come on. Wonder what it's going to take that's going to shake the church. Bring us back to reality. That we're all working on the same building. Come on, my God. You work on the horse gate, I'll work on the dung gate. Just let's work together here. Please, this church is not ready for no revival. God's got to first of all judge this thing today. Raise up something within the church that will come to instruct the children. Come on, that something is to be prepared for in the day that revival does come. Come on, the sinner man has a place to come into. Come on, as well as a place that he can walk into with his God, where there's a reality of God instead of a bunch of external, come on, procedures and processes and traditions today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for tonight. Let's close this service. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We worship you tonight. And I believe I'm talking to people right here in this room. What does it mean to be a son? Being a son means you might have to leave your simply for so. Being a son means that what comes to you is going to break ties of friendship that have been with you as long as you can remember. If you're going to walk with God, you got to leave some things behind along the way. Not everybody's called to go into this thing I'm talking about. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you tonight. Worship you. What's the real word of God going to do? It's going to say, get you out of your father's house. Leave your kindred. Leave your bloodline, Abraham. Go into a place I'm going to show you. If you'll continue with my word, you'll abide in my word. My word's abide in you. Some of you have received the word that you've abided in that word, but you're yet for that word. Not fully been made manifest within you. But I'm going to tell you tonight, just continue in God's word. The time is coming. Come on. There was 30 years. Come on. But he had a word of God at the age of 12 that no man had ever heard such a revelation. But it was a time he didn't even understand it. Him who was the Son of God, understanding all things. The day his mother and father came up to get him, he told his father, don't you know I've got to be about the father's business? But it wasn't 18 years before that door would open that he could be about his father's business. Don't worry if all you got is a little faith. That faith is going to bring you to some great thing. Don't worry if all you got is a revelation today, baby. That's all he had at the age of 12. You may have another 6 weeks, another 6 months, another 6 years. My God, but somewhere if you'll continue in his way. Come on, I said you'll continue in his way and learn to stand in his way. This is an hour that the church is fixing to be shaken, baby. These people caught up in everything today but the Spirit of God. Everybody's caught up in prosperity. So where God's whole intent today is just to give you your best life. Now, I'm going to tell you, hell's going to show up and judgment's going to fall. The judgment's going to fall on this house of God today. Paul talks about the time to come in, but not in dirt. You don't have to look any further. It's all, we're standing. It's been standing. Since the charismatics came in, everything became right your way into God's, come on, glory somewhere. Everybody's tape is the tape that's going to open the doorway for you to get into the presence of God. God, I've got the presence of God. It's present with me wherever I go. The presence of God shows up in the shower, driving down the road, listening to worldly music. God shows up in the car. Come on, because I was chosen in Christ. And I belong to God. I don't know about all these people. They got to have the right circumstances to open the doorway to God. You can begin in that. How many know we begin in that?
Yes.
But progression with God, He's going to wean you away from those things you had to have to where it's less about what's external.
Yes.
Come on, and it's about what's internal.
Right.
Come on. Come on, to even prayer itself is a place, if you continue in prayer, to where, and abide in prayer, and walk in a place to where you're in a life of prayer, to where prayer becomes assimilated, and prayer will wake you up in the middle of the night when it's time to pray. Thank you, Jesus. I can't believe that. Some of you are already walking in it. But it's just going to get greater. It's going to get stronger upon your life. Thank you, Jesus. This is an hour that the judgment of God is about to fall on the doorstep of His house. The Bible does not declare that judgment must first be in the house of God. This is an hour. The axe is going to be laid to the root of many assemblies today. They're just going to come down to nothing. I got to look at what's already happened. I'm going to take people away, going to take their breath away. We got to bury some of these individuals because they won't let God's people go into a perfect word. They built their kingdoms off of keeping the sons' children. Hide from them the great truth of God, keeping them in a repetition of things to where they're singing the same songs, dancing the same dances. My God, there's got to be a going on with God today. How many believe that there's something that God's going to cause you to come if nobody else comes into it? You're going to have to say, I don't care what Johnny's doing. I don't care what Maggie's deciding here. Lord, I believe you and I'm ready to pack it up. I'm ready to pack up the tack asses and the camels, and I'm ready to make journeys with my God. There might be 42 camels before we get to the promise, but Lord, here we go. Come on, I refuse to be like this bunch that says, Lord, you brought us out here in the middle of this wilderness just to kill us. Come on, somewhere God's going to slap the taste of garbage and leaves out of the mouth of this generation. Give you the taste of something better. Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Father. We worship you tonight. Come on, praise us tonight. Worship us tonight. Praise us tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we glorify you tonight. Praise us tonight. Thank you, Jesus. There's a continual going on with God. There's a progression of things God's going to bring into your life. I believe this is a year that God's going to draw some people out that call out the fishing boat. Some are going to be required to even move physically before it's over with. Come on, some are going to be required to leave behind what they believe. Come on, everybody's going to say you're listening to the wrong spirit, but it'll be the right spirit. You're one of them, ladies. God's been dealing with you. He's been dealing with you. I told you last week that God was calling you out. You had to leave. Not everybody's going on into perfection. It's nothing. Your family's going places in time. Some people don't want anything. The only reason they want the power is where they can have whatsoever that they want. But you've got to be one that's going to be at the needs of what the people need. You've got to be there, not as those that came to receive. This generation wants to receive this, receive that. No, the sons of those that didn't come to receive, but they came to be givers. And you're one of those that God has marked your family in your life. Going to go into that ministry later. The Lord's going to open for you. God's going to prepare you. Then the day that you go out, you're going to have something to give. You're going to have something of substance. Now give another good message. My God, a message that's going to change, going to transform the lives of men. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And if the church doesn't want it, God will send you to the streets, baby. If the church doesn't want it, God's going to send you to those that have not a portion. And you're going to go forth and you're going to take something to them in the power of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Oh, thank you, Father God. We worship you. Stir up that Holy Ghost, Lord. Stir it up. Let this woman know the visitation of your Spirit in a greater way, Lord. Fill this house with your glory in the midnight hour. Wake the man and the woman up. Draw them into your presence, God, for you have so much to speak to them in this hour. This is a people that are ready to hear your word, Lord. Ready to go forth to continue on your word. I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's a word that God's going to bring to your life. Coming to you. Probably begin to come to you. Thank you, Jesus. The word of God is sharper than two edged sword and torches. Hebrews 4:12. It's more than that. It's more than just what works within the temple that you are. Jesus said, think not that I'm going to bring peace. Yea, I came to bring division. And nobody wants to talk about that side, right? All we know about is the peace figure. But he said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And even on fire. And what if it's already kindled? He said, I came not to bring unity that everybody's talking about, but I came to bring a variance. Oh, to separate the man's enemy, the woman's enemy, should be those of their own house. Oh, I will turn the father against the son, the mother against the daughter. I will divide the two. I will divide against the two. That's what he said. What does that mean? It means that for you to continue with God, there's going to be some people that are going to be left behind because they're never going to see what you even tell them. You can even tell them. You can even reveal to them what God's revealed to you. But it's like you're speaking another language, lady. God's going to give you wisdom. You're going to be like Paul. You're going to not look anymore to those that are just going to cast your word aside and trample over it like it's nothing. But you'll be like Paul. Your desire to know nothing of any man except for Christ. And God's going to give you eyes to see that Christ to where others can't see him. You're really going to know what it means. Oh, when I was in prison, he said, thou didn't visit me. Oh, when I was in the lowliest stage of life, and they said, Lord, where did we see you? God's going to give you eyes to see his Christ beyond the sin, beyond the darkness, beyond the conformity of what this world turns people into. You'll have power to minister to those that are unlovable. You'll have power to touch those that are untouchable. God's going to give you power not just to touch, but you're going to make a difference in the life, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for my praise you tonight. Yes, ma'am. See, God's about to move outside the church. God's about to write Ichabod over many of his houses. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be a great movement of God into the dark corners of the earth before it's over with. Thank you, Jesus. God's word got more power than to prevail over the assemblies of his house. God's able to go out and take these neighborhoods, change the spirit and the culture of our city to where the people desire God. This multimedia barrage that comes to us 24 hours a day, even flows through the airways of our major cities. No wonder the cities are in the condition they're in. And this generation is in the condition that they're in. This generation is not ready for a while. They have to be shaken by something. Thank you, Jesus. God's going to provoke those that are sitting in the pews today, standing in the pulpit, by raising up people that they just walk by minds and so they have no part. Thank you, Jesus. The prostitute chosen in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. She's the first one to declare he is risen.
That's right, amen.
Prostitute, seven demonic spirits chosen in Christ.
Hallelujah, thank you.
And all this heresy come in today through these books trying to create something that is not even there. But I wonder what her life was. I wonder whose life she touched. I wonder what city. See, we don't think about that. All we know is about the 12. But there were those right there. They even declared, as Lord, we saw those today that were speaking your name, they're not of us. Shall we call down fire from heaven? He said, you better leave them alone. You don't know what spirit you're of. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Getting right to the place. This is either male nor female. A man won't go, God will send a woman. Man won't leadership over his own ghost, put him into submission to a woman that's got the Spirit of Christ. He says, this is the way we're going to go. Thank you, Jesus. And undo it with Jezebel. Christ, worship him tonight. Thank you, Father. We praise you. We glorify you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you.
Oh, because of your holiness.
Thank you, Jesus. I just praise you.
Praise.